जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशुरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशुरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरस्तु श्री श्रीमहर्षि भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभु पार की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. by Krishna 5,000 years ago, and the same condition prevailed during the time of the Vaishnava Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago. Kujat kokila hung sasara sagana kirne mayura kule. Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokila, ducks, hungsa, and cranes, sarasa. And it is also full of peacocks, mayura akule. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. Kujat kokila hungsa sarasa. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Here Krishna himself is glorifying Vrindavan Dham. Some of the features of the place are mentioned here, of course. The bank of the river, the particular river is not mentioned here, but we know, of course, Yamuna River is the prominent river in Vrindavan. And Krishna's many pastimes took place there. Of course, we have so many beautiful songs that mention the bank of the Yamuna River, specific locations like Keshi Ghat. Those places are still there today. You find many prayers where Keshi Ghat is especially mentioned. The beauty of Krishna as he stands at Keshi Ghat. There's that beautiful verse in the Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When Rupa Goswami is talking about deity worship, he puts this verse. I'm not sure I think it's contained in his Padyavali, which is sometimes has anonymous authors. Rupa Goswami's Padyavali is a collection of different prayers. So this one also appears there. Smeram Bangi Traya Parichitam Sachi Vistirna Dishting. Vangshi nishchadra kishilayam ujjalam chandrakena govindakyam haritunum itak keshi tirto pakante ma prekshishtasta vyadi sake bandhu sange stiranga. So you may not be familiar with the Sanskrit, but I'm sure you're familiar with this verse. It's the one that says if you're attached to your family and you want to keep that attachment, don't look at Krishna on the bank of the Yamuna. Smeram bangitrahis. Bent in three places. In India, in Vrindavan, of course, we have the deity Bunki Bihari. So that means the beautiful, attractive, bent one. Bunki means bent. Just like the ladies at Sweet, they're called Bungi, because they're always bent over. Bunki Bihari. So he's bent. Krishna is so attractive, the way he bends in three places. His neck, his waist, and his legs, right? And he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, Keshi Tirto Pakante, on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. Vangsi Nishchadara Kikshalayam Ujjalam Chandakena. He holds the flute to his lips, this beautiful picture that Rupa Goswami paints. He holds the flute to his lips, and the moon, as a bright moon, is shining. And Krishna's like glowing. His lips are like newly blossomed buds. And they're glowing. Everything, the whole Krishna's glowing there in the moonlight. We have some very nice paintings that show that also. How beautiful Krishna looks when he's... His earrings, of course. Makara, shark-shaped earrings. Shining off his cheek. They're bright. And they shine off his dark cheeks. So it's so beautiful. Rupa Goswami says, and when you see Krishna like that, then forget it. Your attraction to anything else is just going to go away. So this verse is, of course, giving us instruction in a kind of negative way, saying, don't look, warning us, don't look at that Krishna like that, or you're going to lose everything you're attached to. So this is specifically in this verse, it says that Keshi Ghat, Keshi Tirto Pakante. And there are other, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur That beautiful song, Ami Jamuna Puline. Such a sweet song, that melody to that song. Ami Jamuna Puline, Kodambo Kanane, Kierinu Sokiajo. Oh, it's a beautiful song. So it says, the translation of it is, Ami Jamuna Puline. On the bank of the Jamuna, what did I see today, O Sakhi, O my friend? So one gopi is speaking to another. What did I see today? I saw Rasaraj, Manimancha Podi, this Rasaraj Krishna Vangshidhari. He's Rasaraj. He served there in a jeweled throne in the forest on the bank of the Yamuna River. That's what we see there on the bank of the Yamuna, is Rasaraj Krishna being served by so many attendants. So this is Krishna in Vrindavan. We especially like Krishna in Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityaja paramekam nagacchati. Prabhupada would sometimes quote this line. It says, Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. So Krishna outside of Vrindavan, it's Krishna, but it's not Vrindavan Krishna. Of course, Krishna can be himself and someone else at the same time. Another form, slightly different, but not different. Really not different, but also different. That's Krishna. He can do the impossible. So Krishna in Vrindavan, that's where he belongs, there in Vrindavan. And of course, we want to go there. That's what our hearts are longing for, to reunite with Krishna in Vrindavan. There's a nice metaphor that's given. It's not specifically about going to Vrindavan, but it reminds me of it. Spoken in an earlier canto of the Bhagavatam, Dotatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Parikaisha Panta Swasharanam Yata. So it says, one whose heart has been purified, Dotatma Purusha Krishna, has Krishna within the heart, then the person never gives up Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. Mukta Sarva Parikresha, those lotus feet, and that remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet gets rid of all dirty things within the heart. So a devotee who has once felt that purification, what it's like to be pure and relish one's association with Krishna, Panta swasharanam yata is like a panta. A panta means one who has been on the panta. Panta means path. So a traveler, someone who's been traveling for a long time and finally makes it home, enters the house, sits down on the couch, puts the feet up, goes, now I'm home. Says, I don't want somebody's phone ring, somebody wants you to go somewhere. Forget it, I just got home, I'm not going anywhere. So it says, one who has had that feeling of devotion for Krishna, who has regained that, then he never wants to leave again, just like a traveler who's come home after a troubled journey. So we're certainly on a troubled journey. We've been on a troubled journey for a very long time. I think of this word, devotees use this word, sojourn. Our sojourn. So actually the word sojourn, I think we may have a misunderstanding what it means. It means long, 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 long time. Well, that's actually not what sojourn means. Sojourn means a stopover. So like if you fly to India, you might sojourn in London for a few days before you go on to Vrindavan. So our sojourn, maybe that was our intention in the beginning. I'll sojourn here a little while in the material world, just kind of check it out. But something happened. We got lost. We got lost here. We entered into the forest of material existence that we also have in the Bhagavatam, that picture painted, the fifth canto. The material world is like a forest. And we hear what it's like. Of course, it's a scary place. You get in there and then you're stuck. You may have had the experience. I like to hike, and I still hike sometimes, walk in the woods. And I've noticed if I go off the trail just a little bit, start looking around, you go around in a circle, and the next thing you know, you don't know where you came from, what direction you came from, what direction you're supposed to go. It's so easy to get completely disoriented when you're out in the woods. There are no landmarks to let you know where you are. So that's our material life. We left the shelter, the path. We left the path of devotion to Krishna. We left the paths of Vrindavan to come and wander in this material world. And we became completely disoriented, completely lost. We may have started with some pride that we can handle it. In fact, we may still feel that way. I can handle it. I can handle it on my own. I don't need help. Or at least many people in this world. They're struggling in this world, but they don't feel that they need any help. But what's the best thing, of course, if you're lost, then you want, just like if I ever feel lost in the woods, I want to know where's the forest ranger? Get me out of here. Come and rescue me. Because I don't know where to go, where to turn. So in material life, we should come to that point. After repeatedly getting lost and not finding a solution, not finding a way out, then we should be submissive enough to get guidance. In this, the first verse that I read today, the last two lines, Bruhu snigdasya shishyasya guravo guyam apyuta. So this may sound familiar to some of you. These last two lines appear in the first canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bruhu snigdasya shishyasya guravo guyam apyuta. Shonaka Rishi says to Suta Goswami that you've been blessed by your spiritual masters who have taught you everything because you've been submissively inquisitive, because you've been loyal. And the word here is actually snigdhasya, is translated as submissive. Because you're a submissive disciple, therefore your spiritual masters, guyam, are going to tell you the secret. There was a book out a few years ago, very popular, The Secret. There's kind of a whole movement around it. So, it may have been their secret, but it wasn't the right secret. We have our secret, guyam or guyatamam. Guyatamam means the most secret of all secrets. That's what we get. And how do we, of course, get it, really get it within our hearts? There has to be submissive hearing. I was just editing a lecture of Prabhupada's for BTG, and over he makes the same point. You have to hear from the authorities. There's no way that we can penetrate the curtain of illusion that Krishna has drawn before us, separating us because of our twisted consciousness. There's no way we can penetrate it on our own. We need help. We need the mercy of the Guru, Sadhu Shastra Guru, Krishna. And we need all mercy from all of these sources. And then Vrindavan can appear before us as it is. We read the purport today. Prabhupada says that Vrindavan, just as described here, it was like that during the time of the Goswamis. So now we say, yeah, it's not quite like that anymore. I've been going to Vrindavan for many years, and I see how it becomes more and more a city. Still, Ramanreti, there's still some soft sand there. There's still some preserved areas, but mostly it's built up everywhere. Just residential quarters are going up everywhere. The Parikrama path, it used to be so nice and sandy. Now it's these hard stones that hurt your feet. So it's being built up more and more. So in some sense, for our eyes, it may cover Vrindavan. It may see, where is Vrindavan? Even in some of the Goswami's prayers, there's one, I'm not sure which of the acharyas says it, but he's putting himself in our role. And he says, when I go to Vrindavan, I taste the water is salty and the plants have thorns and the animals are ferocious and so on. But what here Krishna's describing Vrindavan, that's not Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, we have beautiful flowers always blooming. We have gentle breezes carrying the aromas of those flowers. We have the cooling atmosphere from the waterfalls. They make a mist, and the breeze carries the mist to cool you off. so it's never too hot. And so everything is very wonderful. Very wonderful there in Vrindavan. That because, of course, it's Krishna's place. It's Krishna. Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. This is a verse Prabhupada would quote. Several lines of it are very important. Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. That's the first line. It's from something called the Chaitanya Mata Manjusha, which is written by Srinath Goswami. I don't know anything about this person. But Srinath Goswami has written this beautiful verse. Actually, it states some of the last line is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam Idam. These are the opinions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says, Tatradara Napara. We hold these opinions in great respect. Opinions, so many people have opinions, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Matam Mama, this is my opinion. So when Krishna gives his opinion, then we listen. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his opinion, then we listen. If some other rascal gives their opinion, we're not so interested. Just like today, in politics, there's so many opinions. There's an endless opinion polls about everything. But the opinions of people who don't know anything really aren't much value. People are not educated in all the issues, but still they have an opinion, whether they know anything about it or not. So the same thing with spiritual life, spiritual truth. So many people have opinions, but is it an informed opinion? No, just guessing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, of course, is not in that category. In fact, in that verse also it said, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam, that this, where is Lord Chaitanya getting his opinion? Of course, he's Krishna, he knows everything. But he's also saying his opinion is Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. It's the spotless pramana, evidence. If you want evidence for what I'm saying, in other words, Lord Chaitanya is saying, because everything he said, he backed it up from the Bhagavatam. If you read his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, it's full of quotes. Chaitanya Charitamrita has so many quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whenever Lord Chaitanya taught anything, especially he quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the authority. So when he says that that's his opinion about something, he also says this is backed up by the Bhagavatam. Even Krishna, when he spoke, he said, what I'm saying is backed up by the Shruti. I'm not inventing these things. I'm speaking from authority. So we know from authority what Vrindavan is really like, what a beautiful place it is. And we may not relish it. Of course, we also know that because we're not on the purified enough, but we know that Vrindavan is also within the heart. We can find shelter within the heart also. Because wherever Krishna is, Vrindavan is there. Vrindavan is as worshipful as Krishna. I don't think I translated this first line I was saying. Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. What it says is, Krishna is worshipable. Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya, the son of the king of Braja, Bhagavan, is worshipable. Tadhama Vrindavanam, and his dham, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. It's Krishna. Well, within our heart also, Krishna is there. And Krishna doesn't exist within a void. There's no void anywhere. Wherever Krishna is, his dham is also there. Or he creates a dham within the heart, a holy place, a place where the spiritual world, where we have entrance, you might say, into the spiritual world. Just like Yoga Pit is my understanding of this idea. Yoga Pit, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, Yoga Pit. Appearance place. I once asked a sannyasi what it meant. He said it's dham. You can just take it as dham. So yoga pit, of course, yoga means connection. So you can say this is dham is what? It's where the spiritual world touches this world, where the two come together, you might say, or where there's entrance, where you can enter into the spiritual world at this place, because it is the spiritual world. So similarly within the heart, because Krishna is there, the spiritual world is there, within our heart. But of course we have to contact it. And how is that done? Through sound. Especially through sound. We can travel on the sound, enter into the holy dham. That's the mode of entrance into that atmosphere. And of course we must be qualified to receive that sound and make use of it by submissive oral reception, by hearing from the pure devotee, taking advantage of that sound and letting the full power of the sound reunite us with Krishna in his holy dham of Vrindavan. So let me read the translation to these verses again. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you, for spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters there that are very confidential and difficult to understand. Then, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Aghasura, who was death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, had brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words. My dear friends, just see how this riverbank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Any questions or comments? Pundarika Prabhu?
Just a comment about the last line in his purport there, the Srila Prabhupada talks about how Raman Reti is still something mm-hmm. to do with it. One time, anyway, I was actually a few months ago, Chaturatma Prabhu was telling about how many of the birds he has in his backyard here. There was like four or five or six, maybe like that. One time I was on top of the Gurukul in Vrindavan and I saw a couple of unusual birds that I didn't see very often. And I just started counting, and within 40 minutes I had like 22 varieties of birds. And I kind of lost track. I thought I saw a couple more. But you can't imagine. Yeah. They have a Bharatpur bird sanctuary, it's called, like mm-hmm. 10 miles away or something like that. But the variety is still there in Vrindavan. It's so nice.
Anyway, yeah, and they're nice, still there. Somehow.
Thank you for nice remembrances of Vrindavan.
Thank you. Mukunda Prabhu?
Really nice understanding is why Krishna is standing in threefold bending form in all of our temples. Everywhere Krishna has this tribhunga form, and so it would be really curious fact as to why. So I was researching this one time and I came across a commentary and an explanation from a sannyasi friend of mine who explained that actually Krishna's threefold bending form means dear Lalit Nayak. Krishna has so many different personality traits, which Srila Prabhupada has written in Nectar of Devotion, like Dira Santa, Dira Datta, Dira Datta, and Dira Lalit Nayak. So this form is called Dira Lalit Nayak, and it's special because this Dira Lalit Nayak form is especially manifest when Radhika's love is at its highest point, which is called Swadina Bhatrika. I'm not going through whole Ujjala Nilamani here, but when she's in Swadina Bhatrika mood, Krishna accepts this form as Dear Lalit Nayak. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Gopi Geet, the last verse, the gopis have prayed such a beautiful prayer, beginning Yakte Sujata Charanam Buranam Staneshu. This prayer is so beautiful that Krishna was forced to appear. So in the very next verse it says, Tasamavya Bacha Chori Smaya Manamukambojam Pitambara Dhara Swargri Sakshat Manmat Manmat. Krishna appeared and stood in this form before the gopis after they finished Gopi Geet. Mm-hmm. And he indicated by this, he tilted his head to the left to indicate his leaning towards Srimati Radhika. And he crossed his legs in such a way to show them, I'm not going to leave anymore. And also, this pose is the beginning pose of a dance. If you look at any Bharatanatyam dance, when the dancers start, they start like that. They cross the legs. So he said that this was the reason why Dear Lalit Nayak, and also represents Krishna's Lila Vilas, period. So even with Krishna Balaram, he will also take this form of standing in tree bow fending form to show Vrindavan Lila in general. Very.
That's me here.
Did you mention that those last two lines are in the first canto, first chapter?
Yeah, you were sleeping during that part. Oh, here. Premananda Gaur Prabhu.
I was just remembering that, you know, it's so sweet to go to Vrindavan, and I just remember one of the most special moments for me to go to Vrindavan is to actually be exactly in the places where Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. You know, sometimes we try to go and see Krishna in Vrindavan, mm-hmm. but actually, if we try to go and see what Prabhupada did in Vrindavan, you see more Krishna that way. So I remember very fondly, you know that video when Srila Prabhupada goes the steps in Gokul and he takes a dip in the Yamuna?
Mm-hmm.
And we took a bunch of devotees there with my spiritual master. We went and we actually bathed in the same spot where Srila Prabhupada bathed. So actually, just by remembering Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada in those in his pastimes in Vrindavan, that like opens a big door, you know, for appreciating Vrindavan more.
Mm. Yeah, nice point. So Prangavinda Prabhu, we'll give you the last word. Couple minutes left.
I appreciate that. This question came three-banded form. There are many topics, actually, you have nicely explained. Srila Gauravinda Maharaj explained that one has to be attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in Vrindavan, Radharaman deity are considered complete. It manifested on the full moon. Nishingadeva appeared on Chaturdashi, 14th day, and 15th day is the full moon, where Gopal Bhatta Goswami prayed to Mahaprabhu in separation. He was crying. Now, where this businessman came with all this jewelry and the dress. And before that, he had only shalogram shilas. So he prayed, "My Lord, that you manifested from the pillar as a Nishingadev. Why can't you manifest a beautiful three-banded form that I can see instead of shila? Because shila, all this jewelry, I cannot really dress you." So in the morning when he woke up, this beautiful deity that manifested. So then Srila Gauravinda Maharaj gave the comment, because of worshipping Mahaprabhu in the intense separation that one can see. Otherwise, why there is a question of Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, three separate deity. So three-banded form also has another aspect, that if you look at the deity right now, you see that the leg is the first band, Srila Gauravinda Maharaj says. And the second band is the neck, where the face is tilted. And then the third one is the heart, where the chest and from the waist is little. So he said, first band where Madan Mohanji deity, that the great grandchild of the Lord Krishna, when he Uttara and Bhaguri Rishi, they were still alive, and he made the beautiful deity. And then as soon as they see the feet, they say, "Wow, that's look like our Kanaya, the Krishna in Vrindavan." So that's how Madan Mohanjiu deity appeared in the world. And then the next deity he made, Vajranabha, great grandson name is Vajranabha, where Prabhupada mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Vajranabha's short life in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Then when he made another deity, and then same Uttara and Bhaguri Rishi and other Brajavasi came, and they say, "Oh, that look like Krishna's chest. Such a broad, like a broad, beautiful chest, macho," or I don't know how you explain that. So then they called him Radha Govindaji. And then another deity manifested, so beautiful face. Then they said, "That looks like a smile of Krishna. That's the face of Krishna." So Radha Gopinath. So he says, according to the Sambandha Abhideya Prayajan, it's attracted. But our attention should be for Mahaprabhu, then automatically Radha. Or also the one last one, this that verse you said, Aradha Bhagavana Vrajeshutanay. I was just listening, reading Patravali of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. He says, Aradha Bhagavan, this is Narottam Das Thakur, disciple is Ganga Narayan Chakraborty. His disciple is Krishna Charan. His disciple is Vishwanath Chakraborty Thakur. But we don't know what came so many through them. So we Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur from Narottam Das Thakur, he went to immediately to Vishwanath Chakraborty Thakur. Krishna Das Kaviraj in also there. It says that the Srinath Chakraborty, but it is the inspiration of Vishwanath Chakraborty Thakur who actually manifested that. So I noticed many times Prabhupada quote, Lord Chaitanya says that. Mm-hmm. He quote that verse, I heard many times. He said, Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Aradhya Bhagavan Bhajaya. So I was thinking, how Lord Chaitanya says that? But it is in the heart of Vishwanath Chakraborty Thakur, so it is possible.
Yeah.
He says, Aradhya.
Well, the devotee is quoting Lord Chaitanya in the verse, so
yes.
Lord Chaitanya did say it.
Yes, he did say it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, Aradhya means this Radha's Krishna, who is the most worshipable in Vrindavan,
yeah, yeah.
With that Vrindavan.
Aradhya.
Aradhya. It was very sweet.
Jai Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.